Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
Jeremiah chapter 20, beginning in verse 7. When you read through the book of Jeremiah, he was called the weeping prophet, and not for the matter of whining, but weeping for the people of God to repent. Chapter 5 through 7 is absolutely extraordinary on the condition, the rebellion, and the judgment upon God's people. Notice chapter 20, verse 7. We're going to begin there in the book of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Now, at this point, Jeremiah had just been attacked by a false prophet named Pashur. He was a son of one of the priests, and he was actually locked up. It says that Pashur struck Jeremiah the prophet and put him in stocks, which means he locked him down, he shackled him. And Jeremiah is suffering greatly in his ministry, as all who will live godly in Christ Jesus, they shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. And right after that, he says, evil men and seducers like this guy Pashur will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Notice verse 7, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Every one mocketh me. Now, we could read right over that, but if you've ever been persecuted, especially I speak to the very few men that are called out to preach the gospel and they're obeying God in that, there are times in your life when you can really feel, if you will, what Jeremiah is stating here in his condition. Now, he's not whining, he's complaining, and there is a difference. What is the difference? Well, crying out to the Lord in an hour of trial, which Jeremiah was definitely in an hour of trial. God told us he hates the sin of murmuring. Most notably would be the two chapters in the book of Numbers where God sent the spies into the land, and most of them murmured against the Lord instead of having faith that God told them that he has given them the land. They murmured. There's a difference between murmuring and complaining. Murmuring is more like whining as compared to a complaint, objective complaint, where one is offering an honest concern to the Lord for the trial that he might find himself in, such as when Paul was given a thorn in his flesh by Satan that God allowed to keep him humble in the great revelations of Christ and his kingdom that God had given him. Paul cried out to the Lord three times. Now, Paul wasn't murmuring. That was a complaint, if you will, in the most neutral sense. When it gets over into whining and unbelief and negativity, that right there is a sin. In fact, that's one of the five sins that kept the children of the Lord out of the promised land. And Paul actually lists those sins in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. That's a very interesting passage, very important. Those five sins were what? They form the natural acronym in this order, L-I-F-T-M. Lift M is the easy way to remember it. Lust, idolatry. The F is fornication. T is tempting Christ. And the M is murmuring. Murmuring will keep you from the promised land God has ordained you to walk in the fullness of His Spirit and in the fullness of Christ in His kingdom. So Jeremiah is not murmuring. He's offering a complaint to the Lord, as he's done several times in this book of Jeremiah, notably chapter 5, 12, 15, and here in chapter 20. None of them qualify as murmuring, but rather talking to the Lord about the difficulty that he was experiencing. There is a difference. Offering an honest concern to the Lord for a trial you may find yourself in is a mere gesture of taking your concern, your complaint, to the only one who can bring you out of it and through it, if you will, and ultimately solve it with a resurrection out of that death and burial season. Remember, David cried out to the Lord. I've already noted that Paul called on the Lord in the time of his testing, the time of great anguish with that thorn in his flesh. And the Lord said, in your trial, my grace is sufficient for thee. He didn't remove the thorn. He gave Paul grace to walk through that season with the thorn. That may apply to someone here that is in a storm. They are in a season of testing and trying and great peril of soul. And God may be quickening you to call upon him. God wants us to call upon him, not only in our day of trial, but that's most of the time when the pump is primed, if you will. It's initiated that we call out to God in our desperate place, our hopelessness that we may feel, our pain. And then that is to be something that brings out a calling unto the Lord for the rest of our lives, all the days of our lives, no matter what we are or are not experiencing, whether a mountaintop or a valley, days that are valleys or days that are mountaintops, we are to call upon the Lord. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies, cried out the great psalmist David. So David here in Psalm 13, 1 and 2 says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Has anyone ever felt this pain? If you have, you really relate here to David, the psalmist, in chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. During my trial of that lasted like 20 years, I found many times great consolation of soul, if you will, and spirit, to be reminded that throughout history, God's people, those especially that were called out to be his servants in ministry, felt abandoned. They felt that at times, like, where are you, Lord? And they cried out like David did and asked him directly. He communed with the Lord and asked him, how long, O Lord, will you forget me? Are you going to forget me forever? When is this ever going to end? He was in great anguish here. Chapter 15 of Jeremiah, the prophet, verse 18, he says, why is my pain perpetual? He's calling out to the Lord. Why, Lord? Why is my pain perpetual? Is this ever going to end? Notice, why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar and as waters that fail? Now, let's look a little bit at the text there. Jeremiah is saying in this passage, it's 15:16. I love this verse. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. He says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. I devoured them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. That is the testimony of every true disciple. We are richly filled with God's word and enlivened by it. And we find his word as we continue in the word. We seek God in the words of God. And we say with Jeremiah, Lord, your words were found and I did eat them. I just couldn't get enough. I voraciously pored over them and devoured them. And thy word, what happens when the word gets in you? Amen. The word was in me, thy word, the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. Maybe someone listening to this message who is lacking joy and rejoicing. And those blessings of fruit of God in the life of the believer, the abiding believer who's searching his word and devouring it, the reality of that joy and rejoicing of heart is always going to be there no matter what you may be experiencing. Many times through the years, I find myself encouraging believers, including a real strong, good brother in Christ, ran into, as God would have it, at the store this week. And immediately I noticed, as I communed with him and fellowshiped with him, that his countenance had fallen since the last time I had seen him. And he's a truck driver, so he's been really busy, as you can imagine, during this season of quarantine and trucking goods to the stores, etc., working, he said, 12-hour days. And so I encouraged him in the Lord to drink the healing oil of the Word of God. And I said, brother, if you just read five scriptures, just five, 3 to 5, get some of the Word in you. Think about it, the power of God's Word. It doesn't necessarily mean studying the Word every day, which every true disciple, I would surmise, will do for sure. Seek God daily, which is Jesus said, that's what you must do to follow him. We never take a vacation on God. That's a good way to begin the backsliding process, which we never want to engage in. So if we just study, you may be at a place where you're having a hard time studying God's Word and reading God's Word. And perhaps for the time being, you should consider at least reading some of God's Word every day, feeding your spirit. God's Word is so powerful that just a little bit of it can turn the tide and can begin to bring you closer to the Lord. Whatever you do, do something toward the Lord. Now, for those who are well healed, we should be devouring God's Word on a daily basis, and perhaps at least at times in large portions. The Bible doesn't accidentally get learned. It's a deliberate, diligent effort every day. A workman, it takes work, amen. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. That's the scripture that we read in 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, study to show yourself approved, not unto men, but unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It takes work, and it's the most rewarding endeavor that we can engage in this life, is knowing the Lord, seeking the Lord in his word, and obeying God. So Jeremiah says that the words of God were found, as obviously he searched them out, because the Bible says, search the scriptures. Hallelujah. And I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. So Jeremiah was greatly refreshed here, and he says, I sat not in the assembly of mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. So notice Jeremiah sat alone because the hand of the Lord was upon him. Verse 17 here, Jeremiah 15. Have you ever noticed the words of Jesus coming true and happening and transpiring in our lives? Have you ever been shunned? Jesus says, it's Luke 6, that you will be shunned for my sake. You will be put out of the company of others for his sake. And that's what we see here with Jeremiah. He sat alone because of the hand of God upon him. Then he says, why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable? I wonder if Jeremiah was feeling lonely. Have you ever felt lonely? We must realize that we're not alone ever. He will never leave or forsake us. And it's in those times of suffering, that we experience precious moments with the Lord, intimate moments, and are reassured and confirmed in his love as we draw nigh to him. In those times, we cry out to the Lord. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, he says to the Lord, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar, as waters that fail? Therefore, thus saith the Lord, this is the Lord speaking here, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. So the Lord says here in verse 19 that Jeremiah, who is complaining and showing a distrust and unbelief in the Lord's provision for his life, the Lord says, if thou return and take forth or separate the precious from the vial, that is the precious truth, and the promises and the character of God from the vile disdainment of his enemies, there was warfare going on here. There was words and attacks upon Jeremiah, and Jeremiah is complaining and showing a distrust. So the Lord says, if you will return to me, that is, I will bring fresh repentance. That's a must for all believers as needed throughout our Christian life and our walk with God. Then he says, it's conditional, I will bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me, and if thou take forth, separate the precious from the vile, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not unto them. Let these rebellious people, let them come to you. Don't go to them. That may be a lesson for some of us that are listening. Many times in our youngness, if you will, or even the greed that drives people that are in the ministry, a lot of them are in the ministry for their own self-serving purposes, whether they realize it or not. And so they're chasing the people, if you will. They're going after the people a way or an aggression that isn't the Lord. If you're preaching the word of the Lord, people should be flocking to you. There's not going to be a lot of them, by the way, if you're preaching, endeavoring to preach the full counsel of God's word, because you're not tickling ears. And there are many very hard truths, if you will, as it's been called, in God's word, like the cross, hell, judgment, the absolute necessity of personal holiness, repenting, cutting off the hand, plucking at the eye, being ready for the return of Christ, etc. So Jesus said his flock is a little flock, a remnant, a small residue, Luke chapter 12, verse 32. So those who are trying to gather a big crowd and build a church business, those are false prophets, the very ones Jesus warned us about. Jesus told men, remember in the Gospels, follow me. He didn't run out to them. They gathered around him. Think about the continuum of Christ's ministry and the events thereof. And I believe that'll begin to dawn upon us. So Jeremiah has a lapse here. I know none of you listening have ever had a lapse in your faith. I certainly have. And I feel him, because there's been times that I argued with the Lord and complained to him and showed unbelief, like Jeremiah is showing here, a lack of trust in my pain, in Jeremiah's pain, which he said in verse 18 was perpetual, incurable. He used those words. So he was being tested here by the things that were transpiring around him in his ministry, and God told him to rightly divide and discern and take me at my word, separate the precious from the vile. In fact, let me read this to you. John Wesley said this about this passage, how God tells Jeremiah, if thou, that is conditional, if you return in the Old Testament and repent are synonymous. Notice return, turn again to the Lord. He says this, John Wesley, these are God's words to the prophet, rebuking his distrust in God and promising him that if he did return from his distrust in God's providence, he would restore him to the former favor he had with the Lord, and he should be his prophet to reveal his mind to the people, and that if he would separate the precious truths of God from the vile conceits of men, then God would continue him as his prophet to speak in his name to the people. But he charges the prophet to keep his ground and not go over to wicked men. Do not wane, in other words. And remember, friends, Scripture tells us that without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. We can trust the character of God, the promises of God. And I will make thee unto this people, he promises, as Jeremiah returns, confesses his sin of distrust and unbelief for what it is, sin. In fact, the Bible says, speaks of unbelief as an evil heart of unbelief in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 through 15. That is a serious scripture on unbelief. And the fury, the insult to the Lord that brings when we don't believe him. And I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. So God promises that he is going to protect Jeremiah. Now let's finish up over here. back in the 20th chapter, beginning in verse 7, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, Jeremiah says, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. When we read Jeremiah, and as well as many other places in Scripture, like the Gospels and the book of Acts, there's like a firestorm of persecution coming at the apostles in the book of Acts and at Christ throughout the Gospels, at Jeremiah right here, the prophets. Throughout the prophets, we see like a firestorm of persecution, a demonic fury with men, evil men, both hypocrites that claim to be God's children and the lost. The scripture says in Matthew 11:12, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And the Lord will strengthen us in this call when we grow weary, and he requires that we trust him. So Jeremiah is in derision daily and being mocked. Verse 8, chapter 20, he says, For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. In other words, the word that he was preaching was bringing great persecution. And I said, I will not mention of him, nor speak any word in his name. Notice, first he says here in verse 9, Jeremiah says, I said, after being persecuted relentlessly, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Have you ever, friends, said that you're going to stop doing the will of God because of the persecution it was bringing? And how at times you felt like Jeremiah, that God wasn't protecting you, he wasn't with you, and you grew weary in the fight, and you complained, or you murmured. I've been there. I've definitely been there. When you feel like God is not doing his part, if you will. But remember, God never sleeps or slumbers. I believe that's Psalm 121, verse 4. He will never leave you or forsake you, beloved. You are his. But that doesn't mean that we are free to sin against God like Jeremiah did, as we read in the 15th chapter, and start turning on God or telling him, trust him, and that he should be doing more. God requires us to repent and confess those things. And it's always the best policy to be honest. Amen. Honesty isn't the best policy. It's the only policy. Because he that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. So just confess them for what they are. You may not have the deepest feeling of repentance, but it doesn't hurt to just say, Lord, I know you said such and such is a sin, and I did it, and it's a sin. So I just confess it to you, Lord. Help me. Fill my heart with your grace and grant repentance and a turning away, a grace to turn away and to turn to you, O God, and away from that which defiles the temple. So Jeremiah threatens to just say, I'm not going to preach anymore, Lord. I'm not going to obey you anymore. This is bringing too much persecution and harm on my life and discomfort. I've been there, I can tell you that. But then he says he spins around. He does a little spin like a running back does when the tackler's coming to get him. Boom, snaps out of it. But he says, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I couldn't hold back. Why? Because the word of God was like a burning fire shut up or down in my bones, all the way to the marrow of the bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I couldn't hold it back. I felt that too, and I've been there. Notice, and some of you have too. Now, why was God's word so deeply in Jeremiah? Well, remember we just read in chapter 15, verse 16, thy words, he said, were found. That means Jeremiah searched the word of God. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, I devoured them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Now notice, then he says that the word of God in chapter 20, verse 9, was shut up in his bones like a fire. And the reason why is because he was communing and diligently seeking the Lord. And so when this time of temptation came, this weariness where he felt battered and confused and weary in the fight, it was the word of God that took over. And while he coming out of his mouth that, Lord, I'm not going to do this ministry anymore, this is just destroying me, but you know what, your word is like a burning fire in my bones, And I cannot stop preaching it. Amen. I cannot stop doing your will. That's when the word of God and the depth of it that you've packed in your spirit and your mind, it has a life of its own. The divine life of God begins to rise up in that storm as you hold forth the word of life in the midst of a crooked and wicked generation. Philippians 2:16. Let me encourage you, beloved, to get in the word and let the word get in you. And the word can't get in you until you get into it. And in these last days that we live, the great persecution and trials that will come upon us has been stated by our Lord and his prophets and apostles throughout scripture. And Jesus said, this is going to be the worst time of mankind ever. There's going to be firestorms coming at us in ways that we've never experienced. And it's going to be the word of God that you've put into yourself as you study to show your own self approved unto God that is going to rise up in you as by the Spirit of God who raised up Jesus from the dead. And that is what is going to sustain you in this last day. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Galatians 6:9. We must remain and become absolutely obedient to the word of the Lord. That is the Lord speaking. And the will of God is the word of God. The word of God is the will of God. And here we see Jeremiah, the prophet of God, being corrected, and he was teachable and repented and confessed his unbelief, his lack of trust, his lack of faith in the Lord, and was purged of that. The scripture says in 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity, just like Jeremiah did. He's a great example. He departed from the iniquity that he had in his life. And that's going to be something. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life, the scripture says. I believe that's Proverbs 6:23. It's the way of life. We're never going to outgrow the need for teachability, humility, and repentance, and turning away and departing from iniquity. So let's just get used to it. Amen. He is the potter. We are the clay. And sometimes we act like we're the potter. Isn't that right? And isn't that something? Verse 20, 2 Timothy 2. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. I'm wondering if God isn't saying there, you choose to be the vessel that you're going to be. You do. What kind of root do you have in yourself? How important is the Lord to you? How much do you want to be used of the Lord? Do you want to be a vessel of earth and wood or of gold and of silver? Verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, anything that defiles, any sin, any attitude, any murmuring, we must return to the Lord like he told Jeremiah, and Jeremiah obeyed, and be purged from these things. Get them out of our lives. He shall be a vessel. If a man therefore purge himself, a man of God, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet or fit for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. That's 2 Timothy 2:21. I highly recommend that you memorize and meditate upon that verse. The scripture tells us in Acts 14, I believe it is, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So Jeremiah, after he says that the word of God was like a fire shut up in his bones and he could not withhold it, that he unleashed it to the people, he goes on to say, for I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Many defamed him. There was fear on every side, he said. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watch for my halting, saying, perhaps, peradventure, perhaps, he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. There are people around us that are hoping that we fall, and it's for perhaps more than one reason, but I believe the primary reason is because instead of repenting themselves and taking your testimony as a disciplined follower of Christ, and getting their own life with God, they sulk in their darkness, if you will, because men love darkness rather than light, instead of repenting and to confirm themselves in their own damnable unbelief. They're hoping that you and the other believers around them, who are few, will fall to make them feel like consoled in their own rebellious state. That's the sinful fallen nature. And that's what we see here, that people were hoping Jeremiah was going to fall. Then he says, but the Lord, verse 11, chapter 20, is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, that triest the righteous. There it is. He tries the righteous, not the unrighteous, the righteous. And seest the reins and the heart. Let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I opened my cause. And let me tell you, and I know many of you already know this and have seen it in your own life, that those who attack God's people are going to suffer greatly, not only eternally if they don't repent, but even in this time on the earth. I have seen that over and over, where people who attack are absolutely made completely obscured and removed by the Lord, and other things even more violent than that. If you want to be safe, don't ever talk against or attack a child of God, because the Lord is with the righteous, Scripture tells us, and He will avenge them of their enemies. In Matthew 18, Jesus is speaking of those who would offend one of these little ones, and He says, woe unto those who do. Then He says in verse 7, Matthew 18, woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut it off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. That means it lasts forever. Not only the fire, but the consciousness of those in the fire will never diminish, Scripture teaches. And in verse 9, He says, and if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. So whatever it takes, don't ever speak against or come against a child of God. That's the warning Jesus gives here. God bless you, friends. Thank you for listening. May the Lord and the word of the Lord be rich unto you and your spirit and family today in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, Scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all Scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.